Let me report to you that the vote to end the meeting at 8:30 was 7-7, so it failed. But I'm going to take the opportunity to end the meeting at 8:30. And what we will do is we will take to the legislature what we have done up until that point, if eight people agree to do that. And then leave the rest, whatever's left over, we will have to do at a later point, rather than schedule another meeting. Yes.
I mean, we'll have to do Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Wednesday night, not after Wednesday night, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to challenge the ruling of the chair. I don't think you can overrule a vote that's been taken on an issue.
It failed.
It did. It failed to end the meeting at 8:30.
Right.
Yes.
And you're saying you're going to end the meeting at 8:30.
That's right.
Yeah, because he'd still end the meeting. He's the chair of the budget.
So the meeting should continue to go on.
Why should it continue?
Why don't you end the meeting at 8:35 then?
All right, we'll end the meeting at 8:35.
Mr. Chairman, I'm very happy to move to adjourn at 8:30.
Why don't we take the next motion, see how far we can go?
Yeah, let's see how far we get, okay? The next motion is, thank you for that, Restoration 044, one time, it's the Health Department. Kiefer Prudhoe.
Move it.
Is there a second? Dooley, discussion, Brian.
2 seconds. I would like to hear from Brenda on this only because she gave me a very eloquent explanation about 2 weeks ago, and I don't remember it quite as well as I should. But I certainly agreed with it at the time, and I probably will again.
The request for this particular position is one-time funded. I think we're showing in this 2011 budget, in 2009, when you adopted our 2010 budget, we had three positions funded with some rollover funding. We carried that through to 2011. This is one of those positions that should have gone to halftime. When the new budget guidelines came out, we ended up putting it out as one-time funded in order for us to do some transition work within the administration unit. We have two other clerical staff who we could expect to pick up some of this work, and we also expect changes in one of those staff when the payroll project is fully implemented. This one-time money will allow us to get through 2011 and do the actual transition.
I remember you saying that this position provides support to four different programs, and is really necessary for this next year, as you said, for transition. So in order not to have program leaders doing clerical work, but actually doing what they're hired to do, this just makes sense to me.
Pat, Peter, Martha.
The phrase could transition means what?
Some of it will be training of other staff to do coverage for medical.
But I mean, what then would happen to this position?
Then the position would be gone effective 1/1/2012.
Okay, so we're not anticipating coming back and asking for it to be funded again. Okay.
Peter.
I'm a little confused procedurally. Don't requests to use rollover for doing something happen routinely all the time, and they don't go through this particular committee. So I'm wondering, if that's true, I'm wondering why it's going through this process here.
Go ahead.
One time.
Yep. Peter, they don't routinely go over the course of the year. They happen in the springtime when the rollover is certified by David Squires. And the departments at that time advise you how they'd like to use the money for the current year and also suggest how they would like to use it in the future year. So that kind of holds their place for the 2011 budget. Now comes 2011 and the budget process. Now is when they make their specific request for the use of that money in 2011. So this is really basically a one-time event where they can ask for this money to be applied.
Any other question? Martha?
I was wondering why Joe didn't fund it, and I also wonder if anybody's keeping a tab on the one-time funding we've approved so far and kind of what the hit on the fund balance will be.
Yes, we are.
It's
on the number?
We are trying to keep track of those balances. With respect to my position on the OTR, this was one of the lower priorities of the department. And again, as I've said, often I try to respect the priorities of the department. It does use rollover to fund a position. So we've generally shied away from that. That's basically it.
Anyone else? All in favor of this resolution? It is 044 one time, 31761. Please raise your hand. Restoration. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It fails. Next one. 047 health. Restoration, $78K to Target. Dooley.
Well, that sounds like one of mine. This I put in for a physical therapist. It's an OTR that Brenda had withdrawn. The reason I put it back in was because if the CHA turns out to be something we can continue, then having physical therapy as available for clients seemed really important to me, and by not including this, I thought we would be foreclosing that possibility. In other words, putting another nail in the CHA's coffin, and I didn't want to do that. Subsequent to submitting this, Brenda explained to me that you can't really buy a physical therapist for the amount we're willing to pay. At least I think that's what she told me. Instead, we have to contract with different ones for services. But I guess I need to ask Brenda to clarify this, whether I understood correctly or not.
Yeah, well, you made a motion?
I did.
Is there a second? Will, go ahead. Now, Brenda, please try to clarify.
Hi. This position has been vacant since the beginning of the year. The person who had this position retired after 39 years of service as a physical therapist. We have made several and many attempts to fill the position, and we were not able to because of the salary is no longer competitive. So still try to fulfill the physical therapy needs of our patients, what we've been doing is contracting with several private physical therapists, and that's how we've been filling the needs. We don't believe that with this salary we'll be able to fill it as a staff position.
Is it the salary money that you're using for those contracts?
The target budget does have funding built in it to cover our contractual arrangements. And if you look at the OTR, there shows a negative adjustment in our professional service fee line. If we were to hire that, we would end up reducing our professional services. At this point, given the review of the CHA, I think we're feeling that we should live within our target budget for this particular position until that decision is made.
Thank you. I'll withdraw this, but I think that the CHA should not have anything happen that will mean we can't continue.
Second or agree. Item is withdrawn. Kiefer Facilities. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We're going to go to turn your paper over. 039 Health Restoration Target. 196-260 restore target funding for the CHA, and that's Will. You want to move it?
It's the last one. I asked Jim to move it up just so that Brenda and Sigrid could hopefully do all their presence in one time. This is...
Will you move it, Will?
I will move it.
Is there a second? Frank, go ahead.
Thank you. Well, we just saved $78,000, so, you know, we should feel flush in the prospect of restoring $196,260 to Target. As you may recall, Joe recommended that we fund the CHA for half a year next year in that same amount, that we use one time to fill out the whole year, and that we fund, in the meantime, right now, a study to see whether the operation could be made closer to self-supporting. And I take that in good faith. As I've thought about all the information that's been coming to us, though, I've realized that we are really limiting our abilities to make a decision down the road if we do this. And two things basically lead me to that conclusion. One is the fact that Joe has told us that next year's budget situation is likely to be significantly worse than this year's, and that's probably going to be true for the next 2 years, based mostly on the pension situation. And the second is the fact that there seems to be a very realistic possibility that we're going to have a tax cap, which is going to limit our ability to raise the levy. So I'm imagining a situation where we're going to get, this time next year, and we hopefully will know either the CHA has been able to curtail its cost somewhat, and we'll decide to keep it, or we'll maybe have decided by that point that it makes sense to sell it. But we will be in a situation where we will essentially have to sell it. We will not have the choice unless we fully fund it, because we won't be able to cover the shortfall. So I'm going to – I raise this. I would be delighted for other people to support this. I have no great expectations. But and if my logic is truly wrong, I'd also like to hear that. But I guess my goal is that – to see if we can make it work, because, you know, we have 15 jobs that at stake, people that have been doing this for years, and I think from everything we've heard anecdotally, doing a very good job of it. If we decide that we need to sell it, I would hope that we would sell it in a way that would truly maintain the level of service, if not improve it, and that we would not be forced to sell it just because we had to.
Joe?
If I could just add some clarification. There's a little fatigue in my voice tonight, so I'm a little goofy
sorry
when
to
I explain it. I'm just tired. It's been a very long day. Will has described very well the 2011 situation and the way we proposed it. We have $200,000 in Target in this budget to support the operation. And really that says we can continue operating the CHA as we do now for the first 6 months of the year. And, again, my hope is we can find a way to get to break even by July 1st. However, if we can't, we've hedged our bet. So we have another $200,000 in our contingency account to support it with one-time money. So that's 2011. Now, Will's concern relates to 2012 and how all this plays into 2012. So let me spend just a minute to talk about that. As we come out of 2011 into 2012, we will have $200,000 in our Target budget for the CHA. So what that means is if we find a way through our studies to get our own county-run CHA down to a break-even point, so there's zero deficit, that means we can take that $200,000 target number down to zero. Now, that's probably the best of all worlds. The second kind of variation on that theme is, as a result of our consultants and all the work that we plan to do over the next few months, we find a way to reduce our deficit by half. So we go from a $400,000 deficit down to a $200,000 deficit for a county-run CHA. Well, that means that for 2012, we have enough money in the Target to support that. Without raising any taxes at all, we can carry that. It's only if we can't get the deficit down to $200,000 that we have to make a policy call and a tax levy call. So let's say it's $300,000. Well, the first $200,000 is covered. Got it in target. It's that last $100,000 that we would have to look at to if you want to keep the CHA, to raise in the property tax levy. So I just want to make sure it's clear that in 2012, we won't be looking, if we decide to keep it, for a new $400,000 in target to sustain the operation. We've got the first two basically already in the bank. It would be anything above $200,000 that we'd have to find next year.
With someone over here, Peter, Martha, Carol.
Yeah, I'm sympathetic to the arguments. I've discussed this with Will a couple of times, and I understand his concerns, and I think they're real concerns. On the other hand, I'm haunted by this number over here that I keep seeing, 6.29, and I figure that if we pass this thing, that number will become 6.8, if I've done my arithmetic right. And I find Joe's presentation of what it is going to be faced with a year from now in terms of the decision to do the CHA, to whether or not to sell the CHA or not, to be convincing that we are going to have the time to do it. I did have an idea, which I've discussed with Joe and just with Sigrid a little bit over the phone this morning, that it does seem to me we have another alternative whereby we could maintain the C stand for?
Certification.
We could maintain the certification and lease it out to an operator who, presumably, if we can find an operator who could do it for less, we would then hedge our bets if it turns out that operator is operating at a lower cost because they're not providing the service, then we could, in fact, go back to the situation. We may decide to go back to the situation we have at the moment, even though it's costing us money. So, frankly, I don't see the concern. I think it will, from what I've heard from Joe's presentation, I think we will have the time and we will have the ability to make a reasoned decision in the year ahead. So I will oppose this.
Yes. Go ahead.
I just wanted to speak to the certification. To maintain certification, we must provide one direct service, and we currently do that with our nursing services. So we are unable to contract that service out, and that is the only direct service we provide because we use contracts for physical, speech and occupational therapy and for home health aides. So the only direct service we provide is nursing. We cannot contract that away.
But we could decide to provide the physical therapist function directly ourselves, which I believe will be considerably a smaller payroll than the nursing, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
If we raise the salary.
A big concern is about this whole shift has been the concern that if it's not the public CHA, that instead of one public and one private, we just had two private in this county, there would be cherry picking, and some patients for whatever reason, whether it's that they can't pay or that they are too sick, too complicated, would not get served, that the two CHAs that exist would not serve some people that we currently do. So, Sigrid, if you could address this, that would be very helpful.
Well, the other agency is a not-for-profit, not a private agency. We, in our estimation of the services that the 17 patients that we identified when we did our budget presentation, we feel that those are patients that may not be served through another agency. It is a loss. We have a loss every time we serve those patients. But our argument back to you was that the cost to the county would be higher if it was done through another agency. That's our argument, that Medicaid, it's a shifting of the cost of Medicaid to a nursing home or to a hospital.
But why right now they can, if, first off, private doesn't mean proprietary. Private means either nonprofit or proprietary. So my understanding was that the RFP was going to go to, that we would consider a nonprofit if we were to sell this. And that's the only thing I feel comfortable with myself. So if we had two nonprofits, two private nonprofits that were doing this, you're saying that they could either, they could both refuse patients on the basis that they are too complicated, and then they would end up going to a nursing home?
CHAs are required to take all patients. However, there are certain patients that will exceed their resources. And if these patients would exceed their resources, they may not be served by the two private agencies. These are patients that are able to remain in their home because of what we provide. And are there statistics for these patients? No, there aren't, because it's very difficult to look at who might be served and not be served based on discharge from a hospital. We don't have access to discharge information and where the patients go. We only know what comes to us. So it's based on our experience in home care over the decades of service we provided that these are the patients that we have served best.
But you said,
Joe?
Yeah, and I'm going to try not to tiptoe into the policy area that is really yours, not mine. The way this is set up, though, it's to give ourselves some time to look at the operations of the current shop. Can we get closer to break even through maximizing revenues, through reducing expenses, finding efficiencies, and so forth? That's really step one. I think everybody would agree that that is a worthy cause. We ought to be doing that, and that's the plan to do it. It's if we find that we can't get close to break even, that we have to make a policy call at that time, and that is, should we divest or should we pay the cost of maintaining the current county-operated Shaw? I think as the months go on, we will have lots of opportunities to look at that critical issue that you're raising, Martha, which is quality of service. And as we, if we find that we are still, we're just inherently going to be losing $400,000 a year, subsidizing this to the tune of $400,000 a year, and we have to begin to think about whether we should divest, I think at that time, we really ought to concentrate all of our resources on asking and getting answers to those questions that you're raising. And we've talked about a roundtable. We've talked about bringing in experts. But I do think that probably early next year, those are the kinds of questions that we're going to want to look at in great detail. And I think the way this is set up, we should have an opportunity to do that.
Brian.
Thanks. Quite a lot of this is sounding familiar, like we've already had some of this discussion. And a lot of these are just questions that we've already paid someone to get answered for us, or at least assist us in the program evaluation. And maybe we should just deal with the matter at hand, which is how are we going to fund this for this next year, whether it's going to be target or whether it's one time.
Carol and Will.
Okay. I have a hard time understanding any of these programs and the amounts we're talking about, unless we put it in the context of what is the program cost overall. And I was in agreement with Will and spent a long time talking with Joe about this $400,000 program that he's proposing to reduce to $200,000 for this year. Joe, this is going to end up in a question for you.
Hopefully.
And after spending a lot of time with me, I realized that I was missing a really obvious part of this, which is that this isn't a $400,000 program that we're only putting $200,000 in for. But if you look at our program book, neither Joe nor I had our program information in front of us when we talked, and I'm looking at the program book now that says it's a $1.6 million program overall. But I guess so I have a question of what is that an accurate number? Because if I understand it as 400 versus 200, it's a very different sense of where I want to go with this than if I'm understanding it as a $1.6 million program that we're going to spend time looking at. Can we get it to be running at $1.4 million, which would then be accommodated by our $200,000 that's already in our target a year? Or, you know, can we get it down to $1.2 million? Is that the only way we can manage to keep it? So understood that way, it's more reasonable to me now to do the study, to put the pressure on the program to manage to cut $200,000 of the $1.6 million. Or have to come back to us. But I want to know if I understand the numbers correctly.
You do, and these are the health department numbers. Others. They're right out of the book. So the expenses are $1.67 million. We generate revenues from Medicaid, Medicare, third-party insurers of a little less than $1.3 million, leaving a deficit of almost $400,000. So as you look at it, Carol, you can either say, can we reduce our costs from $1.7 million to something less than that, or can we increase our revenues beyond 1.3? And I know Nathan has talked about revenue maximization and Medicaid coding and those kinds of things. So yeah, it's that larger business that we will be looking at, trying to minimize the amount of gap between revenues and expenses that have to be covered with property taxes.
Well, so I realize I do not want to get into the protracted discussion about the value of the job and whatever that we've started. All I'm attempting to do with this resolution is ensure that we have the ability to make this decision after we know all the facts. And I guess, Joe, my question would be, how do you see the timeline working out for the completion of the study, and when would you see us grappling with the real decision? And I just want to make sure, I guess, Sigrid or Brenda, I heard one of you say that it would take 18 months after we started the process. Did I hear that correctly?
It can take up to 18 months, but that is the process of the state approving the transfer of the certification.
So after we if we made a decision, okay, we want to sell, it could take up to 18 months, a year and a half.
For the full process to be completed. As Joe explained during our budget presentation, a contract can be made with a company before that time, and they come in and manage the company prior to the state's approval of the certification transfer.
Thank you. So, Joe, maybe you could explain your thinking of the timeline in terms of the...
Well, there's an RFP that's being circulated right now, and I think that the date to finish that is in March. Is it...
I think we asked for completion by the consultant by March 1st to give us time to review it.
At that point, we will be able to look at the financial questions. You know, how close can we get to break even? And at that point, then the discussion turns toward the policy. How close have we gotten, and should we begin to explore the idea of divesting to be able to deal with the deficit? So early spring.
I had Mike and then you, Martha.
I'd like to call the question.
Is there a second? Brian, all in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The question has been called. The original motion is to restore 196,260 to target 039. All in favor of that, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Opposed? Everyone else?
Oh, count me on the pro side.
4. Okay. Let me do it again. All in favor of Will's motion, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Motion failed.
If I can just comment, this does not mean that this is a decision to sell the CHA. This means that we understand it's $200,000.
I mean, I think we understand that. Okay, facilities, 035, Kiefer Target, $35,000, energy saving contracts.
Do a service contract.
Energy services contract.
I'm sorry, energy services contract.
I don't see Arel here.
He's right there.
Hello, Arel. How many of these contracts are...
Wait, can we put it on the floor?
I'll move it.
Is there a second?
But I may withdraw it.
Yeah. There's no second.
Which thing is this?
You took 35.
But I'm going to allow Julie to ask Arel one question. Go ahead.
Thank you, Jim. My understanding of these contracts is that it's what allows us to keep Johnson controlled, who recommended the changes in our systems, responsible for us continuing to have savings. And I'm wondering how many of those service contracts it's really important to continue with. How chancy is it? Oh, dear, this is two questions. How chancy is it to drop all of them?
The over-target request is for $66,450. This motion is for $35,000. Of that $66,450, one quarter of it is for what they call maintenance or measurement and verification. On an annual basis, they measure and verify what the savings are. So once we basically cancel that portion of the contract, then they're under no obligation, Johnson Controls, to guarantee savings. At least as of the end of 2009, so for the last 4 years, we have saved about almost $1 million. The project cost us just over $4 million. So about a quarter of it we've already saved through energy savings. So that's cost avoidance. Had we not done this project, we'd be spending, you know, we would have spent close to $1 million or more over the last 4 years. Of those service contracts, those are to maintain the current systems, both controls. We currently control 12 buildings through what we call direct digital control, computerized controls of our HVAC systems, and also some servicing of HVAC systems. We also, our staff technicians, maintain other systems, boilers, cooling towers, and other systems that we have the expertise to do. We didn't feel that we needed to contract that out to Johnson Controls. The OTR 35, the $66,450, we're requesting that rollover be used to fund those. We requested that Target be used towards that. The county administrator recommended only one time. If we cancel any of these service contracts, then Johnson Controls is under no obligation contractually to guarantee savings. My feeling is that after 2011, we may not need to do the measure and verification. However, I feel that we should do some level of servicing of the control systems at probably half of the $66,000, at about $35,000. But I would like to continue one more year with the service agreements, the service contracts at the $66,000 level.
No question, Julie, unless we get a motion on the floor.
So... Is it one time $66,000 now, or is it one time $33,000?
It sounds like one time.
What is it now?
$66,450.
You had it at one time $66,000?
Yes.
Okay.
So what I think I heard Arel say was that the amount that I put in this motion is probably what he really thinks they should continue. Is that correct?
Well, in 2012. For 2011... we would need the full amount at $66,450, which we're proposing using rollover towards that.
So I guess what I should have written was that that half of the $66,000 be Tyler and the other half just be rollover one time. So I guess that's what I'm moving.
You're moving half at Target and half at rollover?
Tyler.
Using.
Yes.
Why don't you just do it all at once?
It's one time already.
Can I ask?
And to modify the one time so that half of it is Tyler.
Can I ask?
Is there a second?
No, I want to ask.
Is there a second?
I want to ask Earl another question. Second.
Thank you, Peter. No, Carol. We're not. I said one time question, and she asked a question. There's a second. Now you can ask a question.
Earl, you said something about 25% of that $66,000 was for the Johnson Controls
measurement
contract.
No,
so would it do you any good to have the $16,000 there as target and the rest of it as
one time? The
service contracts, a quarter of it is called measurement and verification. Annually, in order to verify what our savings are, we have to do measurement verification, but also we have to maintain the systems. Our feeling is, I mean, if we cancel the measurement verification or any of the other service agreements, we cancel our contract with Johnson Controls and hope that we meet our savings on an annual basis.
Thank you.
Peter, Dave.
Aurel, I'm confused here. If you buy a complex electronic computer-based system, the idea of not maintaining it sounds nutty, okay?
Right.
On the other hand, if what you're doing is you're just paying an insurance policy to make sure that it provides the savings they said it would, then I don't really see the point in that. I don't quite know how to put this, but when you buy a computer, you need to be able to get the updates that Microsoft sends you on the software that runs it. Is that what we're paying $66,000
no,
for?
No, this is to actually service the systems, the control systems, just like a car. You buy a car, if you're not tuning it up on an annual basis, doing the oil changes, that type of service we're talking about.
So are you talking about going without taking your car in every 5,000 miles for the service? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, if we don't do the service contracts, we're basically not doing the oil change, not doing the tune-ups, which means that our efficiencies as far as mileage goes up. So our car is not as efficient. The same thing on our systems. If we're not maintaining our systems, we will not be generating the savings that we should on an annual basis. So our staff are doing some of these service work on the systems. This is more technical as far as controls, the digital controls on our systems that we outsource.
Well, to use this analogy, like changing the oil, but if you don't change the oil on a car, you'll ruin the car. So, but you don't have to be a real expert to do that. I mean, can we do the basic servicing and not let the system fall apart by ourselves without doing this?
Well, we are doing some of that. Our obligation is to maintain the systems that were installed. We had boilers, cooling towers, condensing systems, controls, which is the computerized portion that is highly specialized, that unless we spend a lot of money training our technicians on an annual basis, it really doesn't make sense for us to do that. So we feel it's important that we continue servicing the systems, otherwise we can't optimize their performance.
Could I ask the county administrator for a comment about why it isn't obvious that we should be doing this?
Well, I can tell you the basis of my recommendation. The department couldn't do this within its target, and I didn't have the money within the 5% allocation to provide target funding for it. I think you saw where the money went to critical services. So I didn't have the capacity to support this with target money and still stay within the 5% and do what we needed to do. So I've recommended that we sustain it. We use one-time money. We take a careful look at it in 2011 to see how much of it is. I think you're right, the insurance policy for the energy performance contract and how much is ongoing work. And if you read my note in the OTR, that's what I've suggested, and that's, again, let's use one-time money to carry ourselves through 2011, take a look during 2011, and come back in 2012 with perhaps a different approach.
I'm going to call on Dooley because she's the maker of the motion. Are you going to change something, Dooley?
You just made me forget what I wanted to say, which was actually important. Shoot. I can't. Oh, yes. what I've heard in other discussions earlier this evening is that next year is not going to be better, it's going to be worse. And if Arell is now able to tell us what the amount is that he really is going to need, not just in 2011, but in 2012, and if that amount is the $33,000 to $35,000 that I am moving as target, then I sympathize with Joe having to meet our 5% target. But we're talking about our decisions now, not the guideline we gave him that he had to meet. And so I think this makes sense to take care of our investment this way. So I'm not changing it. I'm explaining why I think Joe did what he did, and I'm doing something different.
I'd like to call the question.
Arell, did I hear you say that if we don't opt to do the maintenance and the prescribed oil changes, that it may violate the warranty or guarantee on the equipment?
Yes.
So if we don't maintain the oil system in the car, or we don't change the transmission fluid and we lose the transmission, we got problems. So this seems to be a no-brainer.
Carol.
I'd like to call a question.
Just a second.
But is it clear that this the money is provided in the budget?
Yes.
So we will be able to change the oil and do those kinds of things, but we would do it with one-time money, not with target.
And it's harder next year.
So you're moving it at target, right?
Because it's going to be harder next year to do more one-time, I'm afraid.
We're going to evaluate it.
We just heard the evaluation.
We're all becoming predictors now.
What?
Can you restate the motion?
Julie, you want to restate the motion?
Calling the question on the motion to move 33, half of whatever that amount was, to target, and the other half would remain in Joe's budget as our budget as one
second. What, Mike? All right. Everyone understand what we're doing? But you know, when we get to it, we're calling the question now. All in favor of calling the question, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Everyone call the question. Original motion, Dooley. And Carol just stated, all in favor of Dooley's motion. Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed.
Very sad.
And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah.
So,
okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
That means that the county administrator's recommendation for one time stays.
Yes. Right.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to ask that you please allow the meeting to go to 8:45.
Second. Yeah,
we can do that. Brian?
I was just going to ask that the next two items are both the same staff. If we could at least take care of those two.
Yeah, we can. What was the 8:45.
What was the vote on that facilities one?
5 to 9? Or 4 to 10?
Thank you. I'd like to move to amend that motion that we stay until 9.
Second.
Let's talk about it at 8:45.
You want to talk about it at 8:45?
Sure.
All right. Let's go.
Highway 048, Dooley restoration target or one-time $100,000 for paving. Make a motion and we'll get a second.
I know that this is not going to go anywhere. I see no reason to make a motion. I feel guilty that Bill's here.
Okay. You're withdrawing?
I will withdraw that. I'm going to let him talk about the ditching crew, which is even more expensive. Yes.
Wait.
What?
Can't we reintroduce it?
You can.
I'd like to move the
048 restoration, 100,000 target or one time?
Target.
Is there a second?
Wait, point of order, this is a revisit, and we haven't been through the list yet.
No, it's not a revisit. It's a change.
We've
already broken all those rules. Way at the beginning.
Yeah, we already voted on this one.
What you voted on was a cut.
Yeah.
And you're revisiting it.
I had put something in to raise it even before the cut.
We have a motion and a second for 100 thou from Target for paving. Discussion. Frank.
Yeah, for all the reasons that I think we've talked about before, and with all due respect to Carol, we don't have to go through them again, but the need for this type of thing, especially out in our neck of the woods, in the three towns that I represent, some of our roads are deteriorating rather quickly. One of them I only heard earlier this evening, perhaps, maybe due to the Brooktondale Road, maybe due to something well beyond our control at this point. But I want to remind you of a comment that was made earlier this evening by Judge Rowley, and I'm paraphrasing it, and he was talking about defensive criminal justice items, and that paring them down to a lower number borders on making some of them useless. I would like to draw the same simile here, that we can draw down because there are large numbers and because of the cost of doing roads, that we reach a point where this is like throwing a 10-foot rope to somebody who's out there 20 feet. Carol, you can hold that chart up all you want. I'd like to hold up the survey that was done some number of years ago, prioritizing by county residents what services they wanted, and public safety, public works, and health were at the top of this list. And it was an independent survey that was done by Cornell. And I'd be happy to share it with you, Carol, because there are all kinds of charts and numbers in here, too. I'd urge you to restore the $100,000.
Around the room, Martha Pat.
I call the question. Thank you.
Is there a second? Mike.
I second.
Yeah, I know. I was blanking on your name. I'm sorry. I forget my own name from time to time. That's why I have a coat with my name
he
on.
He wanted to go.
This year there's only one mic.
Yeah. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Peter, you're calling the question?
Negative.
Oh, okay. Opposed? Uno. One. Okay, question has been called. Frank's resolution motion is restoring the $100,000 to Target that the county administrator had in the original budget, and we voted it out on October 21st. So it's a restoration. All in favor of adding it back in as Target, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Five. Opposed? Nine. It is not back. Restoration 049, Kiefer Restoration Target, $266,750, restore ditching crew, and that is 049. Do
it. I'm moving it.
Is there a second?
Sure.
Discussion.
Through attrition, this crew no longer exists, and it's been a painful thing to watch it disappear. The work they did serves a very good purpose. When we do ditching at the county level, it's our practice to use hydro seeding, which we get through the good services of the Soil and Water Conservation District. And it's the kind of thing that helps prevent the kind of runoff that goes, well, it helps prevent flooding, but it also prevents the kind of runoff which the Chesapeake Bay area folks don't want to have us contribute to. So it serves us locally and it serves further away.
Okay, Frank?
Yes, I want to remind you that those of you that are in support of doing the work on the Black Diamond Trail would have the services, perceived services of the crew to do the work.
Peter?
This is a super big item. I doubt I'm going to vote for it, but at least I think it deserves a hearing. So I wonder if Bill could tell us why it is we ought to vote for this.
Who? Oh, Bill.
Bill, isn't that the right person?
I thought you said Joe.
Oh, okay.
Sure you did.
You sure you want to go to 9 o'clock?
One of the things that the ditching crew does is it establishes pathways for the water, okay? We have a lot of culverts out there that are deteriorating and deteriorated. A few weeks ago, we had that 5 inches of rain one night. Over a one-day period. The next day, we had minimal damage. When I came here 5-6 years ago, we'd have a thunderstorm, and we'd spend 2 or 3 days cleaning up after it. So it's very important, and one of the things the legislature did in 2004 was establish this crew. And through attrition, we've lost the crew. And, you know, these cuts that we keep seeing, it's going to affect the roadways. In fact, I was looking at a road today that it looks like it's starting to do some failure, and this is the wrong time of year to be starting a construction project. I really hope that you see your way fit to restore this ditching crew. It's very important.
Pat, Will, Peter.
I'd just like to somewhat echo the comments that Frank made on the previous motion about the paving, especially in the rural parts of the county. This is a very, very important constituent issue. And when we don't take good care of our roads, and I think that that includes the ditches and the runoff of water and so on, it's a serious problem for a good number of our residents. And I think that it's easy to overlook that because we have such pressing needs in other areas. But I think that this is, to me, this is a core service that the county provides for these roads. And nobody else is going to do it if we don't do it. So I will support this.
Will, Peter, Brian.
So, Bill, my understanding, we used to do this. We're currently not doing this at all, or just not as much?
We're not doing it as much.
Okay. So what's the what is another crew buy us? How does that translate in terms of hour, miles or something that we can cover? Or
what does it buy us?
Yeah.
What we're doing is we're going through, and it was neglected for many, many years, okay? And that's when we started having problems. Okay, we're now working our way out of that problem area, but it still exists. You know, drainage is a very important part of keeping a road intact. And it's just something that we really need to do.
Right, so just trying to get a sense of what we're able to currently do in terms of, you know, miles of highway.
Miles of, I believe that this last year one crew did somewhere around 13 miles. Now, 13 miles is a long ways from 600 miles of, you know, we've got over 300 miles of roads, and there's usually ditches on both sides.
Okay. I have Peter, Brian, Frank.
Bill, I haven't heard the word ditch or ditches for some time, but when I was on the Town of Ithaca board, I used to hear it a lot. We used to talk about that, and there was this word SWEP, and we were responsible for making, for having a stormwater management problem, and we were under some kind, I don't remember in detail, but I felt we were under obligation by state regulations to maintain a safe and clean flow of water from the rain down to the lake. Isn't this part of it? Don't we have an obligation? And are we living up to our responsibilities?
We are obligated, and working with soil and water when we do a section of roadway with ditching, we go through and we hydroseed it so that we don't have sediment flowing into the Cuba Lake.
Brian.
Out in my neck of the woods, I definitely know what ditches are. And I know I've seen all too often what happens during a large storm and the washout that comes from things like this, which has got to be very, very expensive versus the expense that you're talking about. One question I do have, and it was in Joe's comments, may result in overtime pressures during snow season. What does that mean?
I think some of those individuals at least are involved in snow plowing in the wintertime. So if they're not available to help with the plowing operation, you may have to bring others in and pay them overtime.
Okay, that was one of my questions. These are year-round folks?
These are year-round folks.
Okay. And you keep them busy in the
winter? I have one position right now that's somewhat, I won't say vacant. I have one route that basically I have got other people bidding on to fill that position.
Okay. Thanks.
Frank, Martha, Harold.
Thanks, Jim. I think we ought to look on this as... what I heard Bill say is sort of an insurance policy. If we're in the process of catching up, and now we're moving into, I would hope, into a maintenance mode of going back around and doing what we have to on a regular basis so that we don't have a problem. Some of us remember some of those overflowing ditches and what happened to the roads as a result of it, and the gravel on the roads, which causes more problems. To answer Peter's question about the stormwater maintenance, the Water Resources Council put together that program and that plan that the county uses through Public Works, and most of the towns are using because they're required to do it. So you're absolutely right. We do have a requirement that we comply with that. And one last one. On the Ellis Hollow Road, Bill, my recollection is as we began to scope out that work, there's a lot that, because of the configuration of the road with the hillside on one side and the fall off on the other, the type of maintenance we're talking about, especially now that we're making such an investment in that road, the requirement to maintain at least the upper side ditch is going to be even more crucial. Wouldn't that be true?
That's very true. If you notice on Ellis Hollow Road, we did do some seeding and starting to establish some grasses through there. The grasses not only control the sediment, but it holds everything in place. It's just part of a drainage system.
Thank you.
Martha?
I'm confused. The ditch isn't there anymore. It's now a closed system, and there isn't any I don't know what the maintenance is.
There still is areas that were seeded, and it's closed. It's a closed system, but there's also, the banks that we disturb, and that's why we seeded them.
Sure, but I don't think it's going to require the same kind of maintenance as an open ditch. So my question is, you said the crew was established in 2004.
Yes.
But the, how many positions is this?
Heavy equipment operator, and I believe two motor equipment operators.
Okay. And it's, you've also got $90,000 here for equipment rental.
Yes. When we use our equipment, we rent it from ourselves for replacements. It's state highway law.
Rent it from yourself. Okay.
Yeah.
So if the crew was just established in 2004, it's not that long. How come they're already all the positions are already vacant? I mean,
every year, what was happening was we'd have a position that was vacant, and we would not fill it, and then it would not be funded.
So how many? How long has it been vacant? Have these three spots been vacant?
I can tell you exactly when they. Let's see. Last year we lost a heavy equipment operator. Year before we lost a motor equipment operator.
Okay. I'm sorry. I can't really argue with everything that's been said, but I'm going to vote against this because I don't think we can afford it.
Carol.
Yeah, of the, I couldn't find it in the program book of the $4.3 million highway budget. How much do we, is still in the base budget, target base budget for ditch maintenance? Do we know? I didn't see a
Bill, you need to kind of make your way toward the microphone.
These people do other things than ditching. I mean, they're part of a crew. They plow snow in the wintertime.
How much money do we all have if we, in addition to this over-target request, how much is there for?
I have $1.3 million in highway materials.
Okay, thanks. And then I also wanted to ask Kevin to put up on the screen what it would look like if we do this, please.
Well, it's $266,000. Peter, go ahead, ask your question.
I want to call a question.
Is there a second? Leslin, thank you. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Opposed? Wills, 13-1.
Can we get the answer to the question before we vote?
Yep.
We just have Kevin
get
the host the
number.
Yeah, well, he's doing it. I've got an estimate here. You're at 6.99%. You're a hair under 7 with that.
Can I just put it in?
Okay. Well, Joe's answer was good enough.
All right. The question being called long. Oh, we already voted on that. The original motion?
6.99.
We're back to. There's your 699. All in favor of restoring 266,000 to target 049, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed?
Four to ten. Mr.
Chairman,
I'd like to request that we do one more small item before we discuss whether to keep going. I think an awful lot of the process we've been through here.
Well, what's your item? Go ahead.
The item is the restoration to target of the $2,000 for conferences.
No, I'm not going to do that. I just want to see if we're going to go on for 15 more minutes.
It's
okay.
$2,000.
Pat?
I'd like to move that we adjourn.
Yeah, before we adjourn, Pat, I have a resolution to present. Is there is there a second to her motion? Discussion.
I just think that an awful lot of the time we've taken this year as opposed to past years is because we're just not well enough educated on some of these issues. I've gotten a lot of the education I've gotten by training and going to conferences and spending the time, and it's compared to the size of the budget.
We have a motion to adjourn.
Yeah, but before, please, I'm going to say please vote it down because we have a resolution to act upon for tomorrow night's meeting before we adjourn. So I would ask you to vote to not support her resolution. Yeah.
Not support Pat's resolution.
Right.
I'm sorry.
I'd like to move to postpone Pat's motion until after we act on the suggested amendment, the resolution that you put in front of us, Resolution E.
Is there a second to postponing? Well, all in favor of postponing, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Opposed? 1. So it has to be 13-1. Martha?
I would like to go through the few more items that we have.
All right, respect, let's go.
This is not a required meeting. If people don't feel they can stay.
Mr. Chairman, this is
Peter?
We have postponed for one thing, not for a couple of few more items. It deserves a vote on whether we adjourn or not.
We postponed it for the specific item that you mentioned, which was the vote on the adoption of the amendments as they existed.
Oh, I didn't hear you say that. Well, I need to have this moved from the floor with the correct numbers by someone. Will?
I'll move it with the correct numbers, which we will have.
Hold on, I got to go back.
Okay.
But not 6.99.
No.
It's 6.2.
It was 6.29. Wasn't
here,
Kathy.
There.
Is there a second to Will's motion?
Second.
Peter? Discussion. Can we, Kevin, Joe, can you give us the numbers to fill in the blanks there?
Sure.
Mike,
I object to this. I don't think we should be voting on this until we've gotten through at least these and asking people if there are any more motions. I can never remember a situation when we didn't have all the motions before we adopted a proposal.
I agree.
Martha?
I agree with that. I think, it doesn't, Wednesday night we're just going to add this time to, to that night. I really think closure on this is really desirable. I don't think it will take that much longer to finish going through what we have on here.
Point of order. We have a motion to adjourn on the floor.
No, we have
no.
We have a motion about this on the floor right now.
Kathy.
I was hoping we could have another meeting because this is going to take a long time.
Right.
I don't want to vote on the budget tonight. And I won't support the motion that I think is on the floor right now to vote on the budget. But I would appreciate the collegiality and respect given to other legislators, to my request and some other legislators and staff, and have the opportunity to go home as soon as possible before we get tired and make bad decisions.
Martha?
I think Lesnar had it first.
I just want to agree with Mike.
So the motion on the floor is to accept this, and we could postpone it.
I will do anything. I wanted us to have the ability to have a vote on Wednesday. Is that my understanding was that we needed to do that.
Right.
So we can amend that at that point. I will also stay later, and we can
amend this.
With respect, I certainly cannot find another minute between now and Wednesday night to have another meeting. So I don't know what we would gain. Could we not make amendments to this as, take these motions up as amendments to this? We've got this on the floor now, right?
Right.
Okay. So can we go ahead and make those as amendments? One at a time.
You mean now?
Yes.
What amendments?
We have five or six more motions that we could, since we've got the resolution on the floor, the same as we can do Wednesday night, I think it'd be better to have closure, we can do those now.
Okay. Yeah, we can make amendments to it.
But I think Jim, in the spirit, I think Pat and Peter, you know, allowed this to happen. I think procedurally we should pass this and then have the vote on whether we want to adjourn. We can then decide whether to extend and make further amendments. But I think we should at least get something in place so we have something on.
Well, we have on the floor this, and we can make amendments to it.
Yes.
We can.
Right now.
Right now.
Yep.
Peter.
I hate to do this, but, you know, the motion to adjourn is not debatable. It takes precedence over anything. It calls for an immediate vote on it. And the idea of putting it off to do something and then changing the something you're putting it off to is not in the spirit of the way that motion to adjourn is usually done.
So I have a point of information, then. Can I ask that? I don't understand how the process would work if we need something to bring to the floor on Wednesday night to meet our schedule. Can somebody explain that to me?
We're getting a rules interpretation from the clerk. Say the question again.
Well, I have a question or a point that if we don't do it now, we don't have anything to bring to the floor Wednesday night to meet the schedule to have our public hearing. Is that correct?
Yes.
So what would be a procedural way to suggest proceeding so that we have something?
Julie, then Frank.
Peter's right, but I'm going to ignore the fact that he's right and suggest that we can vote to, at our meeting on Wednesday, we can suspend our rules and continue as an expanded budget committee meeting, and then, that's right, become a full legislature when we complete our work on this. We don't have to do it tonight. We can do it that way on Wednesday, but it takes agreement by this group to make that happen.
So, am I... We have a motion to adjourn on the floor, and it's your opinion that we have to vote on that.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Frank?
Thank you. The ability to amend the adoption, the resolution that was handed to us still exists tonight because we can still amend it. And the offer or the question that I had asked about 7:30 was, were we going to stay until we got everything done in deference to all our department heads and whomever else was here? And eventually that evolved into that vote that went down 7-7. That was to adjourn at 8:30, overruled by the chair. We still have the opportunity, if I remember right, to amend anything we do tonight. Even if we just accept, plug some numbers in here, we have an opportunity, based on the procedure that Kathy distributed to us, or perhaps Jim did, about a month ago, on ways to amend the budget before the final presentation on the 16th. And we still can do it on the 16th. So whether or not we get to these items tonight, there's still several bites at the apple, including the one that Dooley just mentioned about suspending our rules on Wednesday. So, I mean, I'm prepared to stay as I was an hour and a half ago. I'm prepared to stay until we get the rest of these done tonight, because I, like Bartha, can't find another minute in my schedule to set up yet another meeting.
But may I read Rule 6?
Please. Why don't you read Rule 6?
Motions and their procedure. When a question shall be under consideration, no motion shall be made except as herein specified, which motion shall have precedence in order stated, viz. 1, to adjourn or take a recess. So it looks like we vote on whether to adjourn the meeting or not. All in favor of adjourning the meeting, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And motion is defeated. Martha?
I'd like to move restoration of target 058, $2,000 to legislature conferences.
Is there a second? Carol?
Target?
Yes.
Me too. Second.
Discussion?
Oh, I thought we were going down the list.
Well, I'd be happy to take yours, but I just wanted to get something going.
All right, I'll defer.
Okay.
Yeah, work that out on yourself.
I'm sorry?
That's okay. Discussion about the resolution, the motion. Leslie?
Mr. Chair, I just want to move to amend that to one time. Instead of target.
Is there a second? Kathy? Martha?
I think this is a really critical part. It's such a tiny amount of money, but in our budget, but it means a lot when we are asking who wants to go to NISAC or other conferences. And I feel it's really unfortunate to be able to say to people, you can only go if you can pay for it yourself. The cost of these conferences and this travel is not going up. It's not going down. It's certainly going up. So I think if it's one time here, then unfortunately we'll be stuck the following year without being able to allow people to go and have their costs reimbursed.
Pat had her hand up, then Leslie.
I can't help but notice during this budget process that we have, partially for reasons that we can't help, especially in terms of our salaries and so on, but we have been totally insulated from the cuts that every other department in the county is experiencing. And we're sitting here making decisions about very, very serious cuts to budgets in other departments and cuts in programs that are very critical programs. And it seems to me that this is a very, very minor, small amount, but at least it represents something that the legislature is contributing to the pain that the entire county workforce is feeling this year.
Leslie.
By no means am I suggesting taking it away. I'm just saying every year we decide who's going to go, who's not going to go. It may be 2,000, it may not be 2,000. I see nothing wrong with just making this one time and doing that every year. It shouldn't be on the target. I don't think it's necessary to be on the target.
Anyone else? Carol?
Yeah, I'd like to point out that this is for travel and training, and that we have spent many, many extra hours in meetings because we are not properly trained on everything, and it's a really pretty minuscule amount. So I don't see the need going away. We had a separate conversation about whether and when and how we already took our hit when we set our salaries. This is a different discussion. It's a small amount. I think we should just do it and not spend a lot of time on it.
Can we, may I ask your indulgence and get a vote on this,
yes,
on Leslie's amendment? All in favor of Leslie's amendment, please raise your hand.
Could you say what it is, please?
She changed the 2,000 from target to one time.
It's a restoration.
058. Thank you. All in favor of the resolution from one time, add 058 to one time, 2,000. Raise your hand, please.
That's the amendment.
No, this is the amendment.
The amendment.
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It fails. We're back to the original, right?
Yeah, my recollection is, and I'd like to turn to Kathy Covert for some help on this. First of all, this does not comprise the entire set-aside for conferences. Kathy, can you remind me how much we have in this account for conferences?
$4,000.
The total is four. So this essentially would raise it by another two?
Correct.
So it would go to six. We use this principally for people to go to NISAC. Kathy, what's the average cost for people to go to NISAC?
For a full conference for one legislator, it's $800.
$800 per legislator to go principally to NISAC. Not entirely, but often that's what it amounts to.
We have sent, my recollection is, more than two individuals to NYSAC, sometimes as many as four. I would suggest that, and I've done this over the years, that we're going to send, let's limit it to two people, not the same two people every time, to adhere to what Carol is suggesting. If indeed the opportunity is for training, then people ought to do a round robin to be trained. But put the onus on whomever is going to come back and share whatever they've learned with the rest of us. We don't need to send more than one or two people to these conferences at this expense. And I agree with what Pat was suggesting. We have very few opportunities to cut. This is not the mileage line. This is the travel line, as Carol has outlined. And frankly, I think we ought to take a little bit of the pain ourselves. Thank you.
I'm sorry?
You calling the question?
Yes, I'd like to
call the Martha has her hand up.
I see this as an equity issue. Often I've said, you know, whoever wants to go to NYSAC, let me know so that we can, you know, see how many people we have and can we spread the money out. And, you know, if there's extra, we can return it to rollover, you know, we can return it back.
Never.
I feel like it's really, the value that we get from going to these conferences, I think, is far greater than the money.
Are we ready to vote on this? It's $2,000 addition to Target. All in favor, please signify by raising your hand. Oh, I'm sorry. It is 058. Target, 2,000. Raise your hand, please. In favor of 1, 2, 3. Opposed? Everyone else.
Mr. Chair, while I'm still here, could I please move the Soil and Water Conservation District?
Can we vote on that?
I jumped over
Mike. Mike Lane is here next.
This is on the legislature, and it's incorrectly shown as an addition. This is a reduction.
Right.
Because it would increase the health insurance copay by legislators by 5%. And I'd like to move that. If I get a second, I'll speak to it for briefly.
All right. It's moved. Is there a second?
I'll second for the purpose of this.
Will?
This doesn't affect a lot of legislators, but I think what it does is show good faith on our part. It's a little pain here. I'm one of the people that gets affected. What we've always, in the past, up until a few years ago, the legislators always paid 5% more in the copay than they asked the other employees to do, and I'd like to get back to that. And I think it would show a good faith for our negotiators if those issues come up in labor negotiations that the legislature understands the problem.
Will and Nate.
Though it's tempting to inflict pain on Mike, I am not one of the people who would be affected by this because I actually don't have the insurance. I'm wondering how many people are currently.
Four,
and what is the real savings? I mean, we're talking tiny.
Probably right? Around $2,000, I'm guessing. I don't have exact figures.
Yeah, well, Dave and I just penciled it out. Probably $2,750 would be a pretty good estimate.
Okay.
Total?
I have Nate and Leslie.
I would be one of the affected people, and I'm supportive of this for the reasons Mike stated.
Leslie?
If the rest of the folks who are affected by this will let me know that it's okay, because I do not feel comfortable voting on this. I'm not one of the people who make use of it, but I don't feel comfortable voting on it for other people to ante up. So if folks want to say that they're fine with it, I'd be happy to support it. Otherwise, I'm a no vote.
Anyone else? Frank?
Yeah, I'm one of the people that would be affected, and what I'd like to know is, for those of you that are not affected by this, do you have another insurance option that you're able to take advantage of besides the one offered by the county?
Absolutely.
Yes, and mine is going up 5%.
Can we know who those people are as well, that have another option that they can take advantage of?
Yeah.
Well, the others. Oh.
Thank you, everybody else.
Are we ready to vote on this?
I didn't hear.
The fourth person is absent.
Yeah.
I like Leslie, I feel really uncomfortable with this. It's not, you know, it's not fair to certain people because they don't have some other option or whatever it is. I mean, it's like the salary thing. If you feel you can give back part of your salary, then and everybody's invited to do that. The health insurance is, it's all dollar for dollar. I don't know. I feel uncomfortable with this.
I wondered if Joe or David or someone could tell us approximately what the value of this would be to an individual, how much more they would have to pay.
About $500.
Depends on the good.
Well, for family coverage, which runs about almost $16,000 a year now, 5% of that is $800.
So what I would suggest is if people don't feel comfortable voting on this because they don't participate, that they donate a portion of their salary, an equivalent portion, back to the general fund so that it impacts everybody equally.
That's
that could
ideal.
Only be done voluntarily, I realize, but I think it would be an appropriate thing to do.
Peter. And then
I'm a little confused, Mike. What would this make the legislators on a par with the employees? Or
no.
Worse? No.
Worse. So what's the argument for
it? The argument is that I would guess, and I'm not part of the negotiating teams, but I'm going to guess that the issue of copay for all of our employees may be an issue of collective bargaining, and I think it sets the right example.
Let me make a comment. By supporting Mike's resolution, I don't want that to be perceived as a position that the county is going to be taking with the employees in the upcoming negotiations. Leslie, you had your hand up.
Thank you very much for saying that. And, you know, for me, just thinking back on when we have done sort of the good faith, you know, taken no increase in our salaries and all of that, as we go into negotiations, it hasn't had much of an effect. So I don't buy that argument necessarily. And, Pat Alto, I appreciate your thought process behind, you know, sort of everybody give back something. I will not be one to do that. $18,000 is my child care bill. That's my legislature salary.
Dooley.
This is a very good example of something that we could deal with after the legislature meeting on Wednesday, after the public hearing. It's a small adjustment. We can contact the missing person. Let's go.
We have a motion on the floor, so in my sense, it voted up or down. And let's go. So are we ready to vote? All in favor of Mike's resolution, which is new, a reduction to increase the percentage of health care benefit paid by county legislators by 5%. All in favor of that resolution, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Opposed? All the rest. 3, 2, 1. Workforce development.
That's incredible.
Workforce development. 119 Cooper Robertson.
I would withdraw the target proposal in favor of Dooley's.
Dooley, do you want to move it?
Yes, I think that we need to do this because our year doesn't match their year, but I'd like to hear someone speak to it for me, please.
You want to put it on the floor?
I'd move it, yes.
Is there a second? Martha? It's 119 changed to 2 years, $59,600 because of mismatched year. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Diane. We have three different funding cycles. The one funding cycle matches yours. The other is our budget starts June to July 30th. And we have another portion of our budget, which is the youth budget, that is October to the end of September. The mismatch funds help us to manage that budget.
Any question? Martha?
What would the difference be? This is page 99. It's request is multi-year. It's approved as one time. What would the difference be? here with Dooley's resolution?
I'm not sure. We put aside $59,000 and change for 1 year, and I don't know whether this means you would want us to reserve another $59,600 for a second year and hold it aside in fund balance.
Well, I think what we do with when we have two-year funding, then it's assumed to be in the budget the second year, but not after that.
2 years, one time.
Yeah, I think you're right, Martha. I think that's the way we've done it before.
So whether it's little, so like in 2012, you assume it comes out of fund balance. I think it comes out of fund balance for 2011. It would also come out of fund balance in 2012. This would be a commitment that we want you to do that.
So $59,600 in each of the next 2 years.
Right. Any other comment? I mean, can we actually do that?
Yeah, we do that a lot.
It's just
okay.
A multi-year.
Yeah, multi-year fund. Mm-hmm. Martha?
Yeah, I don't see the employment situation getting better quickly enough to not do this, and I think that department's been slammed by the number of people that walk in the door.
We have a head start on the 2012 budget. Go ahead, Karen.
I'd just like to ask, this is a program that we help our large employers deal. We get federal, state, and we use local money to help our large employers deal with or help people who've been laid off by our large employers deal with the fact they've been laid off, figure out some career training, figure out how to look for new jobs, and then we're also dealing with helping those large employers look at what should they be doing to plan for rehiring and other kinds of things that come up. And I'd like to ask if we've ever asked them to make any contributions towards this effort financially. And
our three largest employers definitely have helped us, Cornell, IC, and Cuba Medical Center, when they were making some of the decisions as far as layoff or early retirement and so on. Yes, they definitely have added not only resources but assistance, full force.
Is Brian. There an amount you can give me?
Answer's no. Brian?
I just have a question. What do we call the 59.6 for next year? What kind of?
It's a multi-year funding.
Multi-year funding.
It essentially continues on as one time?
It's 2 years, one time each year.
Okay. That was my question. Okay.
It doesn't affect the levy.
Anything else? All in favor of this resolution, please, from this motion, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
It's only 13.
Yeah.
I think it's 8.
Did you vote?
I did. I voted the first time around. Let's do it again.
All
in favor of the motion, please raise your hand.
This is the two-year.
Two-year. Multi-year. All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed.
Wait a second. I was a yes vote.
Just now.
I was a yes vote the first time, and I was a yes vote on the revote.
Do a recap.
Let's do it again. All in favor of the motion to $59,000 one time for 2 years. Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Peter,
what are you doing?
What?
What are you doing? Are you voting in favor or not?
No.
Okay, opposed.
He did the first time
before.
It should be 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Do we have 8?
Did you vote?
No.
I did.
3, 4.
What are you doing, Nate? You're voting no?
He's voting no.
Yeah, you got 8.
No, I have 8.
You
I
got
have 8.
8.
It failed.
So,
that's the
can we call for a roll call vote?
Well, I think I have the accurate number.
You got it right this time?
I did.
6 to 8.
One person didn't raise their hand, Kathy. the target one was was removed.
Move on.
Go.
Okay. Next.
Soil and Water, 109, Kiefer. Restoration to target.
Yes, Soil and Water is one of those amazing agencies that leverages the little bit we give them many times over. I'd like to move this.
Is there a second? Frank?
9587.
Discussion?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to call the question.
Is there a second? Kathy?
I just seconded
what? You seconded what?
I'm sorry. You were asking for calling the question.
Yeah, we're calling the question. All in favor of calling the question, raise your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. Gee, 11, 3. Where the question has been called. Back to the main motion. Are we ready to vote on that? All in favor of the main motion, which is 109 restoration target, $9,587. Raise your hand, please. One. All in favor. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 5. It passes. County Attorney 020 Kiefer.
This is $4,000 for code review, which has to be done every year. It seems really foolish to have it at one time. I move it as a target.
Is there a second, Will? Discussion?
I'd like to call the question, Mr. Chair.
Is there a second calling the question? Kathy, all in favor of calling the question, raise your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed? 1, 2, 3. Question has been called. Moving 4,000 to target for the county attorney. 020, all in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed? 1, 2 should be 6. 4, 5, 6. And that passes.
063 withdrawn.
Okay. Chot, unspecified new addition, one time. 25,000.
I just think we need to have a placeholder in our budget for the fact that we have census figures coming in, and while we can get to the figures themselves, they're going to need some analysis, and we will have a redistricting effort of some sort, and whether that's independent or political or whatever it is, our staff are going to have to spend some time.
Okay, so you're making a motion for 25.
So I'd like to just set aside $25,000 of contingency. Well, it isn't clear how much would need to go to the planning department versus IT versus, but so it would be in contingency.
$25,000, is there a second? Will, discussion?
It's one time.
One time. Brian?
I'd like to call this one.
Is there a second to calling the question? Will?
Clarification on the motion, is it?
I'm sorry?
It's to the contingent fund?
Well, yes. I'll ask the county administrator where's the best place to park it so that we can call it
out. Yes. Calling the question, all in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry.
What? Calling the question?
Yes.
Mike, you're going way too fast now. Slow down.
Evan. No, I'm just kidding. 1, 2. All in favor of calling the question? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Opposed? Should be 4. There is. 10 to 4. Question has been called. The original motion is 25K to contingency for census redistricting, et cetera. All in favor of that, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Page 2, Mike Lane, Youth Services, addition one time, under 42,000.
We'll draw that. It's already been dealt with.
Okay, that's out. It's new proto TCOG edition target. TBD.
To be determined.
Okay. What?
They were waiting. Joe said he was working on numbers.
So we'll withdraw that for now?
Yeah, we can add it when we revisit this Wednesday night.
Julie?
Yeah. Lane's Youth Services, I was going to amend something. He withdrew it, so I will have something, I guess, on Wednesday night.
Yeah, as the person who wants to go home most here, I'm going to try to take just a few minutes to... I'd like to move this at the Wednesday meeting, and I want to explain to you what it is I'm trying to do, so...
Can you wait till Wednesday?
What?
Can you wait till Wednesday?
Well, let me take a couple of minutes just to explain it. Is that okay?
2 minutes.
2 minutes, okay. I believe that we ought to find a way to keep the tax levy at 5%, irrespective of what we do. And I'm going to propose on Wednesday night a way of doing that, which is namely to take the only flexible part of the budget that we have control over, which is filling vacancies that occur by chance. And Joe has told me that if we subtract out all the essential people that where the vacancies must be filled, like, for instance, answering 911, we get something like, if we assume that what has happened in the past will happen in the future, it's something like 2.25% of the tax levy, that rise in the tax levy will be... will be contributed if, in fact, we don't fill those vacancies. So what I would like to propose is that when we get a final number, which I guess we have now, we figure out what fraction of those vacancies that will occur we can not refill to bring the levy back down to 5%, and then instruct the county administrator to make a decision to do that, to generate that amount of income and put it into the general fund and to fill those positions which he believes are the most necessary to fill out of those that are expected to be generated. That's what I want to offer.
Thank you very much. What I would like is a motion to adopt... What?
I have another motion I want to make tonight before you act on that. Is that possible?
All right, go ahead.
This is OTR 99, restoring $10,196. This is for the parenting education class.
Is there a second? Dave, everyone know what 099 is?
Yeah.
I'm getting one negative. Would you do your best to explain it, Julie? It's cooperative extension, right?
Yeah, I would ask cooperative extension to talk about it.
If it's 25 words or less,
this is a revisit.
We've already done one revisit, Martha. Stick with us. Go ahead, Ken.
Well, very quickly. basically, this is for the parenting classes, the parenting education program. It's this is part of the COPS program. 65% of the contract is actually supported by the state funding. If you don't fund it this year, it goes away. It's a $28,000 contract approximately. It's last year in 2009, there were 56 parents who were mandated by the court, by family courts, to participate in this. They had about 72 kids. If two of those kids had actually had to be put into foster care, the cost would have been more at the base price of foster care, which is like $6,000 a year. It would have been more than this contract. So in addition, there were another roughly 100 and some kids who were our parents who had about roughly 100 and some kids who were part of, who also took the program. And again, if any of them had actually, so if 1% of the kids who had been whose parents had taken this class, if 1% of them had actually had to go into foster care, that would have more than covered the cost of this contract.
Thank you. Any other questions? We're ready to vote on this. All in favor of restoring this? It was 099. The dollar amount is to target $10,196. All in favor, signify by raising their hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 that's back in.
Thank you.
Now, someone want to move what we will take to the legislature, the expanded budget committee will recommend to the legislature. I'm looking at a levy of 6.33.
No, hold on. We need to update that.
We got
to
update that.
We have to update that. Sorry. Someone has to, out there, has to fill us in.
Are you moving the one with the bold-faced addition?
I'm moving this one.
Does it have a second resolved?
It does.
Thank you.
It's the suggested amendments from Ms. Kiefer.
Motion I was thinking to make, and it doesn't affect the levy, so it would be about using rollover on the youth services piece. It's on OTR 123. 8497 was rollover attached to the municipal youth services program, and because Joe withdrew funding for the whole program, he didn't allow that 8497 of rollover to be applied, but the department would like that to go towards the administration of that service.
Oh, all right. And how much was that?
8497.
Is there a second to that? Thank you. Discussion? All in favor of adding that? Please raise your hand.
I'm sorry, would you say it again, please? I'm sorry.
Martha, you want to say it again?
8,497. It's a department rollover to be applied to help administer the Municipal Youth Services Program, which, since we've now restored that,
right,
should go to it.
It doesn't affect the levy.
That's right. 123?
Yes.
Yep. Thank you.
123. All in favor of 123, adding that, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Opposed? 1, 2. Two people didn't vote.
Who's the
2? It's back in. We have the numbers. Fellows?
This is alarm. Huh? Why is this so hard? 47.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to fill in the blanks on your resolution. where it says the rules of the county legislature in Article 7 county law for a total tax levy amount of
What?
You can't hear your mic.
Sorry.
You got it.
Okay.
For a total tax levy amount of $40,743,854, resulting in an approximate tax levy increase of 6.36% and a countywide average tax increase of 8.28%.
Tax rate
increase of 8.28%. The cost for a $100,000 home will be $649.49.
Okay. Point of information.
Of how much? I'm sorry?
An increase of how much for the $100,000 home?
$38.95.
That I would like now, that wait, in the notes.
I have $49.35. The current year's tax rate is $6 per thousand. That's 2010. It would rise to $6.49 per thousand. So that's a $49 increase, and it's precisely $49.35.
On a $100,000 house.
On a $100,000
right.
Home.
We've always been talking on a $160,000 house, right? Okay.
Question.
Yes, Carol.
So could you just make, please, very clear, if we vote for this now, are we voting, this is not a final vote for the budget, this is what we introduce?
This is what we're recommending to the legislature.
And then tomorrow night we would still have a chance to make amendments.
Wednesday night.
Sorry, Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And then whatever we do then goes to a
You would have the opportunity to make amendments right down to the very last minute.
And all motions will require 8 votes.
Right.
Thank you.
Any other question? Pat?
When we say recommend, does that mean we support it?
Yes.
Yeah, we need 8 votes to send it.
It's what we take to public hearing. And yes, we need 8 votes.
Okay. No. Well, we need a majority. Well, yes, you do.
We need, I'm sorry, a majority of the people here. Who moved and seconded this?
No
one. Great. Martha moved, Dooley seconded.
Okay.
Carol.
Question. As with other committee votes, can somebody support it here and then get to the floor and...
I think you can do whatever you want to do on this.
Very clear.
The answer is yes.
You can do whatever you want to do. Peter?
Can I move? We adjourn now?
No.
We have to vote for the... Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor of this resolution with these numbers in it, please raise your hand. I'm going
to
request a...
Can we do a roll call on this?
Sure. We're voting to send this to the legislature.
Right, voting to send it to the legislature.
Thank
Peter?
You.
What happens if this is defeated in this room? I don't think it's likely, but I'd just like to understand what this means. What this
county
vote.
The
county administrator's budget goes to the ledge.
Okay.
All right, ready?
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Herrera?
No.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Mr. Lane?
No.
Mrs. McBean-Claiborne?
No.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
No.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
Mr. Robison?
No.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Nine ayes, 5 noes.
We have a recommended budget. Thank you very much. Motion to adjourn. Thank you all for staying the extra hour. I appreciate it very much. And so do the taxpayers of Tompkins County.